Well, we're going to have a teaching this morning. It's an area, this has been going along, and I've been going along with this on the teaching with Abraham. And it has been really interesting to me because of the Holy Spirit guiding as he went along in this thing and teaching, is opening things up. As many things that I look over time and I thought, you know, wow, we've so rushed through the stories at times, you know, of these people, and we pick certain events out. But there's so many things in this. So one thing is I've learned from this, and God has dealt with me. The story of Abraham is not about sacrifice. It's about faith. It's about faith. If you don't understand the message of faith and that this is bringing out, you really don't understand the story. And I realized, I thought, as I've gone through this, I've walked and looking at the faith of Abraham, God dealing with faith, has brought out wonderful things on the areas of faith. And especially, realize the revelations that Abraham got. This is not law. This is principles how the kingdom of God faith works in. If you don't understand how what Abraham did, Abraham, his faith is taught in the New Testament. The principles he operates are taught in the New Testament. We need to understand this. If you can't, we can't see back here. This isn't looking under the law that we're, you know, looking through a glass darkly concerning the law. This isn't. This is a covenant of promise like we have. And it's found in these things. And it's really, I found out, I sit down and look and I think, my Lord, how did we read over these things and not see this, some of this wonderful stuff? How you see some of these really good things that would inspire us to believe? And it's one thing, as I've heard, to me it's come to the thing, I can see now how it was easy for Abraham over time. Now look, his time to what he did. A lot of time passed. God built that man into a place. It was obvious what he did. And see, we look sometimes, these people say, boy, could I do that? Well, if you listen to God, he can build you to do whatever he wants. He can build you to that. Amen. See, this is why all things are possible to him that believe. But I know this, that most of the church don't believe that, because they look at Abraham and say, boy, could I ever go to do that? Well, then you don't believe all things are possible to him that believe. Amen. You see, these stories are in here for a purpose, to inspire us that whatever God's called you and I to do, we can arrive there. Amen. We can get there and do it. We can arrive at that spot. You know, you might not be able to arrive at a spot that somebody else is at, has worked over time at. You know, you might take you time on there to get there. But you know, that's what God is building over time, and we find out. And today we're going to look at part of a story where we're going to look at God's dealing here with an individual. And as we look at this, on the areas of faith, it's God's response to a person. And this is what we understand this. God is building faith in people. And today we're going to look at an area, as we do, to see how, you know, we can either allow God to respond to us or not. Mm-hmm. What we do many a times, you know, because one of the things that I have been just listening to a series of teachings with Kenneth Hagin, and he was really emphasizing the fact of how people have, and like him himself, he dealt with, as he was growing in the Lord, and one of the visions, especially when the Lord dealt with him on the areas of demonic powers, and he talks about the fact, he said, you know, the way we were taught, he said, when the Lord told me these things, he said it was mind-blowing to me, he said, because he said, we were taught completely wrong. He said, our ideas and things are not like, well, if God wanted to do it, he'd do it, and God's in control of things. And he said, we were taught that. And he said, I realized, he said, over this, how much time I wasted with God, with praying about things and doing what I was doing. He said, how I wasted my time. He said, my words, he said, I looked at this, and well, it wasn't he being a bad guy. He's walking in the revelation he has. And one of the things that God did through him was restore some revelations to the church, to us, so we don't have to walk for years and years in darkness and all this stuff, that if you follow the revelations. And so that's what we're doing. If we follow these revelations of God dealing with Abraham, just as he took him into a land, you one day came into a different land. You're in a different land. If you're born again, get your mind out of the land of the world and how the world operates and thinks. Come over into your land that God had. Come to this promised land. It's the land of promise. This is the place of victory. You know, Israel rejected the land. They went and came to it and said, no, yes, really good over there, but you can't go to that place. It's so good, it'll kill you. You know, really, in a sense, they couldn't believe that you could live that good. Do you know people like that today? You know, something, oh no, that's too good for us. We can't have that. Sort of in a sense, oh my God, that devours the people in it. It's so good. Say, well, let's go over and get devoured. What do you think? No, they wouldn't do it. We had two guys that wanted to, but they couldn't enter the promised land. So we understand, you have come, when you got born again, you came to the promised land. You said you've crossed over. You're in it. Now, what is in this land? Now, you're going to have to explore this land. With Israel, when they did go to the land, God said, whatever you put your foot, that's going to be yours. Not that he didn't say everything you see is going to be yours. Every place you put your foot. Every place you go stand on, you step, say, hey, this is mine. Yep, this is mine, right here. He said, that's yours. So see, they could sit and look at all the land, how wonderful it was, but it's not going to be yours. Do you go step in it? Well, that's what we do, but that's what our faith. Our faith comes in this land, and we see promises, we think God said, and by faith we step in it. We say, that's ours. That's mine. That belongs to me. That's mine. We don't step over there and say, God, give me that. It looks so nice over there. That's most of Christian praying. They look at the things God said he has for them, and they're acting like he hasn't given it to them, and God's trying to get them to step over on it. Say, hey, thank you, Lord, for giving this to me. I thank you. You've blessed me in this land. In this land, I'm blessed. I'm not earned. This is not the land of curse. This is the land of blessing. And I'm in this land of blessing, and I want to thank you. I'm blessed here, hallelujah, in this land. And see, we need to begin to talk. Think like that. Think like, I'm the blessed. You're not the cursed. You're the blessed.
Amen.
You know, you think like, just with Mike's reading, you know, it looked like curse was going on. But what's the response to it? Joy. You act like you got something. See, it's easy. That's the fight of faith. Well, it looks like things are getting stolen from me. What's the response to it? Joy. God's blessing me. I'm in this land. We're doing good here.
Amen.
Instead of saying, oh my God, look. Is that what you want to do? Yeah, hey, we all want to do it. Oh my God. You're at that place. It's like, oh, not this. We just dealt with that. Not this. Now this happened. Oh, the gun just went off and shot myself in the foot, and now I'd gonna got the other one. Oh, gee. Fired twice. See, praise God, the healer. Hallelujah. My feet are fine. Glory to God. And so we, you know, we live like that. I mean, especially like, you know, if you take this morning, Darlene read about the Apostle Paul. Paul didn't write about something he didn't know. He went through that junk. He talked about being in joy. Hallelujah. Isn't that all that mess he been? He went through the starving and no food and persecution, and he went through the, you know, turmoil and whatever, you name it. He had it all. Hallelujah. And he said out this whole thing is one thing you can count on is God's love for you. You can count on that. Hallelujah. Glory to God. So keeping ourselves over there looking in the right direction. Now last week, we're in chapter 21 of Genesis where we were looking at in there. And we came to the place, we had talked about over in 20 where Abimelech, because eventually a story comes back to Abimelech again, and talks about Abimelech and dealing with Abraham, and Abraham said, you know, that Sarah was his wife. But anyhow, God turned things around, and Sarah has this child. Hallelujah. Finally, this is the child of promise. And there's one thing that the Lord wants me to emphasize. That's what you are as a Christian. You're a child of promise. You need to understand the difference between you and the world. Everybody, Abraham had offspring that were not of the promise. They were his offspring. In the world today, God has created all mankind. Jesus said all things were created by him and for him. And without him, nothing exists as it does. You're in a world today, and everybody in this world has come out of God's creation. But not everybody is a child of promise. That's the difference. You need to understand this. You're a child of promise. People who are not born again are not children of promise. Therefore, you need to understand, it's just like with Abraham, there's a separation. There's this separation. The people who are not under the promise cannot go. This is what one of the, many times preaching gives the people get the idea that like anybody can just come and just ask God for anything. I'm sorry. You must be in the be a child of promise. You must be in the covenant. And this is what, see, is, and we're going to look, because Abraham, you know, his son Ishmael, he was not a covenant child. He was just the offspring of Abraham. Now, he got blessed. And if you, I want you to understand this. God, you know, any blessing that goes on and people get blessing in this earth, it all comes from God. It sure ain't from the devil. He says he causes the rain to fall, just and unjust.
Yep.
See, everybody gets blessed. Just like we look at the offspring, Ishmael. God said, well, he's an offspring of Abraham and I'll bless him. But he still never had the inheritance of the promise. You and I have the promise. We have been redeemed from the curse. Hallelujah. We're God's children. We're in His kingdom. And so we need to get thinking that needs to come to the church. Is the difference when we're ministering to people and we want to reach out to people, is let them know that, you know, you need to come over. You need to become a different class. You're in a completely different class of people.
Amen.
And the things that you want, because see, many times people want things from God, but they don't want to come into the kingdom. They want the things of God. Give me the good stuff out here. See, no, this goes with... See, they can't ask for things. If God blesses a sinner, it is never based on anything of His goodness.
Amen.
From the standpoint of covenant. So it comes from that. You and I, it's by covenant. These things... See, all the blessings of God, all the promises have already been given to us. Those who... And we say, how was it given? It's given to those who are in Christ Jesus. See, we already have given to us. Why? It's in the covenant of promise. And see, this is why there's a separation concerning the world and things. When we talk about separation, we're trying to reach the world. We're not separating from them as from the standpoint. You know, I know sometimes in religious, and people get religious, and you know, and I remember growing up, it's like you got pressed, somebody in the world that might get off on you. The Bible teaches the exact opposite. If you're going to get something on you, it's probably going to be somebody in the kingdom and they ain't living right. It doesn't teach the other side. You understand, they don't have authority over us. They're not children of promise. And remember, the Bible's not written to the world, it's written to the people. And you tell people out there, hey, you want this Bible to be yours and this God to be yours, you've got to come and become a child of promise.
Amen.
This is what you need to become. You folks are. You're children of promise. Therefore, the blessings are already yours. Hallelujah.
Amen.
You're in this thing. There's loads of things God does for us. I'm just going to tell you this, in the kingdom, whether people like it or not. Most of the things God does us is just because we're in the kingdom. Not because of people's great faith and great. He does just because we're in His kingdom. We're heirs to His promise, and we're just. And it's amazing how merciful and kind, and how He lets things sometimes go and go. That's Him. But why? It's because you are one of His children. There's a difference. So we need to understand that. I realize, we're in a world today and everybody's taught, you know, we're all the same and everybody's the same and every this and that and the other. It's not true. We like to make it all this. It's not, you know. We've made all this thing that everybody's special. You know, you're a special person. No, you need the Word of God just like anybody else. You ain't no more special. You need to get born again. You weren't created from the standpoint of special. You're in this earth. Hallelujah. I'll tell you, really, the specialty is to become a child of God, is get born again. There's a specialty. There's blessings that goes with that goes with nothing else. And so get that about yourself in the earth. Expect God. This is why when we read what Paul wrote, was read this morning, what Paul wrote is the love of God. See, when we go through all these things, when we go through stuff, we're children of promise. You can count on God's going to help you. You might struggle, but I'm going to tell you what, God will deliver you. And see, you need to get into that thing. It's like it says, have joy. We have joy. You got to know who you are that you can have joy.
Amen.
See, if you're just like, you see yourself as like everybody else in the world, you're like just the people in the world. Well, we just struggle out here in this world. I don't struggle like the world does. My struggle is an area of faith in my life. Hallelujah. I'm trusting in something. I'm not just, you know, a hope that's like, boy, I hope it gets better tomorrow. Believe me, I lived like that for 30 years. I mean, I became an expert at that. Hope things improve. But we're going to look today because we talked about this last week, and I'm going to read through it and then what it goes on into. And we're going to, in the 21st chapter, verse 9, it says, and Sarah saw the son of Hagar, the Egyptian, whom she had born to Abraham, scoffing. This was, they had this party for, he was weaned for Isaac. But it says, and therefore she said to Abraham, cast out the bondwoman and her son, for the son of this bondwoman shall not be heirs with my son, namely with Isaac. And the matter was very displeasing, and I talked about that. It says grievous in the King James. Actually, that word means very grievous in Abraham's sight because of his son. It says, but God said to Abraham, do not let it be displeasing, or don't make this grieve. Don't grieve over this in your sight because of the lad or because of your bondservant. Whoever whatever Sarah has said to you, listen to her voice. For Isaac, for in Isaac your seed is called. Yet I will also make a nation of the son of the bondwoman because he is your seed. So we see Abraham, and I talked about this later. Abraham didn't really like this at all. But we're going to find out Abraham responds to God. And here, this is a principle that we need to learn to do. Sometimes God tells us to do things and it doesn't seem to us. It might seem grievous to us and hard to us. But see, we need to come to this place. We got to trust God sometimes. We don't know everything, but He does.
Amen.
He sees. He sees the future. And I want to tell you what, if Abraham would have had his way, he would have never sacrificed his son. His faith wasn't going to take him where he wanted to go. God's going to do something here. God's going to do something marvelous and wonderful that's going to bless all humanity. So it's outside the scope of humans being able to understand all these things going on. I bet when Abraham got down the road and after all this stuff and looked back and said, boy, God was smart. Did you ever do that? Did you ever go through something and look back and say, my God, look what he was doing. And I was over here, and oh my God, what is this? And there he was. He was working on that thing. So, you know, we're all in that place at times, you know, we're going there. So he tells him to do, but he tells him that there's this one seed, and you need to see this seed. You're the seed he's talking about, which the original seed is Christ, but you're born again. You're this offspring of promise. That he's talking about. See, this is a separation. And so what God's going to do is a separation here. This is an image for us to see something and understand something going on here that in this world concerning God's plan. Well, in chapter 21 there in Genesis again, in verse 14 says, Abraham rose early in the morning and took bread and a skin of water and putting it on her shoulders, he gave it and the boy to Hagar and sent them away. Then she departed and wandered in the wilderness of Beersheba. Now, understand this. I will tell you, I bet Abraham was really, you know, he did it. But you know what? See, he obeyed, even though it was a hard thing to do. I'll guarantee you this was a hard thing for Abraham to do. If this grieved him, and he was very grieved over this thing. But you know what? You know what grieves me? I'm going to do what God said.
Amen.
Have you ever been there?
Yes.
It grieves, but you got to do it, you know. Isn't what I wanted to do, but I'm, you know, it makes you, but this is what we'll do. And so sometimes God, this is something that God wanted to do. And, I will guarantee you, God has probably dealt with Abraham about this, but he sort of, you know, he finally has to get over and he said, okay, you know, Sarah caught it and she says it to him, you know, and it's like, okay. And then God said, you listen to her. I said, ah. Because I bet he went to God and said, you know, Sarah's over here causing trouble. I said, see, that is just, she, could you talk to her? I said, I did. I said, yeah, I talked to her. So, but anyhow, the thing that I appreciate about Abraham is his swift obedience. He was swiftly obeyed God. And understand, if we want to build up, get a characteristic, that would be a very good one to pick up on that thing. Now, I'm not saying that you instantly do, like say God says, sometimes God will deal you about something and it's preparation time to do it. This is one thing is to take the time to do, is to find those things out. But there's things that you'll know that you got to do now. There's things will come to you that God will do it. Now's the time. Let's get this. Let's do this. And sometimes I found out with this is because we make sometimes things linger and then it's much harder to deal with. And the situations get out there much further than we'd want them to be. And then when we're way out there, sometimes it gets hard to fix that stuff. And, you know, dealing with ourselves. But I want you to see here, let's go on to because this story is a story of faith. It'll show us there's some wonderful revelations here in this. Because if we look at it, I mean, if we take today and today's culture, what would you think of a man that did this today? Oh man, the church had run him down and just everybody else and whatever. You need to understand this. People wouldn't get it. This is God. This is one of the things is, you know, we have our ideas about things. And the Bible says this, God changes not. I've watched people make hard decisions and I thought, you know, boy, it's a dumb thing. But I tell you what, in the long run, yeah, you saw it later on. It was like, oh, yeah, they were hearing from God. They did it. And we need to understand this. We need to some of these things. Now I want to talk about some things that are just outside the Word, but our idea This is a very difficult thing, and we need to know today. I think sometimes we pass over these things and don't open up and talk about them because we don't want to talk about them. Mm-hmm. There's things we don't want to touch. I think this is the thing here as a church. We talk about Abraham and his faith and say, well, God said to do this. This don't sound like a loving God, does it? Not according to what we hear, you know, today. This doesn't sound like a loving guy. Oh, if you God love, you would never do anything like that. You'd never do it. Well, God changes not. He wasn't a different God then than he is now.
Amen.
So this is one of the things that, you know, you have to deal with is God has wisdom. See, there's things in dealing with this that I've never seen before that I can look at it, I can see now, is why God's showing us an image and a picture of something here between the two different groups. Really, I was looking at the world, even though they come out the seed of Abraham. It's just like the Jew today. They're the seed of Abraham. But the ones that aren't born again, they're not under the covenant of promise. See, being the seed. Today, the church has mixed it all up. They take all the Jews, they're like the seed of promise. No, they're not. So we come up with weird doctrines and weird ideas about this, which is not good. I mean, I've been in churches already, and you'd think the Jews have a better place with God than the church does. And that's a terrible thing to do to the church, to do to the Christian, is don't understand. If a person, if they don't respond to Jesus, they're just in the same position as everybody else in the world.
Amen.
There's absolutely no difference. And see, we need to see those things and understand that. It's one of the things that I have great compassion for them. I mean, I thank God. If it wouldn't be for Jewish people, where would I be today? It isn't I'm against them, but they need saved. Paul said he said he'd give up his salvation if they got saved. He was that desperate to see the Jews saved. He didn't think that they were in a better position or a better place. So we do in ourselves as we look at this, as seeing them and seeing and having a heart for them, which we should. Hallelujah. There's a position of honor that they should have in the church because look at the Jewish Christians and what they did is to bring the gospel to the Gentiles. Look what the Apostle Paul, that Jewish guy, did so we can have these wonderful letters. Look what he suffered so I could get all this good stuff.
Amen.
It's like, wow. So there's a thing of honor that we owe. There's a place of honor that we owe, especially to the Jewish Christians, what they have suffered. I mean, worldwide. I mean, Jewish Christians, I mean, they don't just suffer as a Christian in the world. They suffer among the Jews terribly in many places. And so, thank God for them, hallelujah, that they walk by faith. Now, we want to go on and look at this, because we're going to see another thing here that took place with Abraham. And in verse 15, verse 15 again, it says, and the water in the skin was used up. When that was used up, it says, and she placed the boy under one of the shrubs. Then she went and sat down across from him at a distance of about a bow shot, for she said to herself, let me not see the death of my boy. So she sat opposite him and lifted up her voice and wept. And it says, and God heard the voice of the lad. Then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you, Hagar? Fear not, for God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. Now I want you to see it. Did you notice God didn't respond to her voice? Do you know why? She's not walking in faith. Remember back in the 16th chapter? Remember back in the 16th chapter, we talked about her when she got over and got a little bit haughty about she's conceiving a son, you know, and she got in trouble. And ended up Sarah, you know, getting rough on her, and she was going to run away. Well, the Bible says this and tells us, it says this angel found her, it makes this statement found, but actually the word, if you look up that Hebrew word, one of the meanings of it is to appear. An angel appeared to her and told her about this son, how he was going to come out of nations and all this stuff. See, she had a revelation from God, and here she's acting like God never talked to her. See, God expected her to walk in the light of the revelation she had. She's not doing it. This is why. See, the Lord spoke to me about this as I was looking on this. He said, when I saw this, he said, you know, he heard the lad. She didn't listen to her. And I thought, wow, it says that, don't it? God started to deal with me on this. The Holy Spirit started to teach me. We need to understand this. And he talked to me about revelation. He said, many people are praying. And he's talking about Christians praying. And they don't get any response from God. And he said, because they know what to do. And they're trying to respond to me as if they don't know. You see, she already had... She had an angel appear to her, tell her this. She goes out here and she acts like God ain't with her and ain't going to do it. God already told her, this boy, what his end's going to be. Already told him he's going to be a great nation. Kings are going to come out of him and all this stuff. And she's out here. So in other words, let me just say this to you. The fact that she was crying and everything didn't impress God.
No.
Why? She had a revelation and she is not doing anything. But when the boy must have been talking to God. Now understand, the boy was never given this revelation. You know. She was. God responded. God's response to her was not for him. It's to save the boy. Her faith couldn't get God to respond to her. Because she didn't have any. She's not responding to the revelation. And this is a thing that we need to get a hold of, the fact of this is sometimes, and the Lord showed me, you know, sometimes people are trying to, they're saying, well, I'm seeking God. But when you say you seek God, we need to understand this New Testament. Seeking God is done by us by faith. Faith must have a revelation from God. You could not seek God on what you don't have a revelation on. What you don't have a revelation on, ask God to teach you. But you can't stand in faith on what you don't know. You can't do that. Faith is based on knowledge. It's based on what you know. So you gain knowledge. So if we're going to seek God by faith, it has to be on the basis of knowledge. You can't seek God outside of knowledge. You can't do it by faith. Without faith, it is impossible to please Him. It's impossible. So what is going to be? So what she did here, she's not pleasing to God. She's given a revelation. God has an angel show up and tell her. And she's acting like it ain't working. God held her accountable to that. Gee, you think we're being held accountable? No, we are so, you know. But when there's, now, this is revelation. This is not God trying to get on us. But I understand this now. Sometimes people are going through the things of seeking God, even about something, and they already have revelation on it. They know what to do, and they're not doing it. I've had people I've prayed for already where the Lord said to me, it's not doing you any good to pray for them. They know what to do and won't do it. So praying is not going to move that or change that.
Right.
Why? Because God responds to faith. It responds to faith. See, men are saved by faith. The response to get saved is by faith. You don't get saved because you need God. You have to gain knowledge. That's why we go preach, so they gain knowledge, and through that knowledge, they can have faith. They can have faith. Well, see, she's here. She has knowledge. She has knowledge about her son, that God ain't going to let him die out there. She's over there crying, he's going to die, and God's up there. Send an angel down to her and tell her. And what's she doing? Acting like I'm going to let her die, let the boy die. You know, I ain't listening to that. I'm not listening to that. See, and sometimes that's where people can get over, where we're trying to get God to listen and we're not really responding to him by faith of what we know. You know, again, back to, you know, with Darlene and Mike, you know, it's the thing. All this bad stuff going on. See, are we at Hagar? This stuff's all going to, we're going to die. I can't look at it. I'm going to die. I can't watch. I just and why? Well, lose your joy. You lose your joy. You lost your joy. Is number one, what has God told us? Well, is the whole thing of it is, I can always say about this, I have never been in a situation when God always reveals through His Word, and He reveals Himself through His Word.
Amen.
That's what He does.
Amen. Thank you, Lord.
And he brings things to the Word to you. And so, if we know something, that's why He's going to respond. Why? Because God is always looking for responses in faith. This is what He always looks for. Always. See, the church has the idea. See, you can be saved. You used faith to get saved. But that doesn't mean you're going to have much of a relationship with God out beyond that. Because everything's based upon faith and your response to Him. Not just because you're born again. That's nice to be born again. It's good to be born again. You're going to make it to heaven. We'll make it to heaven. Praise God. But it would be good to get heaven to show up once in a while we're here, don't we? That's what we want. See, God's present all the time. But what we want is that presence to manifest itself. That's what we want. And the only way that does is by faith. Smith Wigglesworth said this. It's amazing. Smith Wigglesworth had made this mention later in his late life before he died. He said, most of the revelations I've gotten about God and from God, he said, weren't during times of fasting and prayer and doing all that kind of stuff. He said, I got most of my revelations, he says, when I walked by faith. And then God would reveal things to me. He said, I walked by faith. He said, I just act on faith in an area. And he said, then God would reveal himself to me. And he'd learn things. Well, I found out that to be true.
Amen.
See, if you walk by faith, God will reveal himself.
Amen.
This is why he pushed on Brother Hagin and the faith message. Is to get that man to walk by faith, and then we got these wonderful, as far as he could walk, he'd get wonderful revelations. Brother Hagin talked about this, I listened to him. He said he never had one appearance come from God because he was fasting and praying a long time or any kind of there, or praying, doing all kinds of things. He said, God showed up, he said, for me and me and his stuff and vision things. He said, unexpected times. He said, things I'm doing stuff and ain't got nothing in the world to do with it. And he said, God shows up. Well, I found that to be true. I'm just startled sometimes. God all of a sudden started talking to me, and I'm thinking, dear God, you know, we're mowing the yard right now. That mower's going, and just God's talking. You know, he'd talk over motors inside of you. He could just, all of a sudden, you're walking along, and the Holy Ghost is teaching. You know, you're just... See, why does he do it like that? I don't know, but I think he does it like that so we don't get into religious ways and ideas. One of the things... And I've listened to Brother Hagin on this, and I think he has a real wisdom in it. He said, I've watched along with people. He said God moves on them somehow, and he said they always emphasizing about how they were seeking God and fasting and they're doing all this stuff. And he said, it all comes down to about me. He said, God don't show up because of you. From that standpoint, we operate in faith. You can't do a bunch of works or make God show up. Our faith does. That's why some people, you see it, people get all upset about it. Because somebody, they think there's more spiritual than somebody else, but God turns around and shows up big time for an individual. Why? They responded to him by faith. And that he can respond back. The other person's trying to do by their great spirituality. I'm sorry. God doesn't respond to my great spirituality. If I have any spirituality, I got it from him. So I don't have that. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Now that doesn't mean we don't pray and we do this. We do that. Don't mean we don't ever fast. We do that. But we're not doing works. We're not doing these works. It's by faith. We respond in His great work, His great doings, His great powers. And so we're seeing that here is someone, God has come and brought a revelation. And God brings revelation to you. Is anything you want to know, you want revelation to come to you because that's the only way to have faith. It's the only way to get it. Faith comes by hearing, hearing by the Word of God. You see all these things? God would appear to Abraham and talk to him. He didn't just appear to him and say, boo, here I is. And now Abraham is Mr. Full of Faith. See, everybody thinks the appearance was big. The revelation's what's big. It's what was said by God. That's what is big. That's why in Hebrews it tells us, we got this greater message. We got this one here that's greater than if an angel shows up. Why? These are things said that were said. We get to read them. We get to speak them. We get to do this. These are words. Because words is what works.
Amen.
We want to see stuff. We can see some stuff if we walk by faith. We'll see wonderful things when we walk by faith. We'll see wonderful manifestations of things. But they start by the walking of faith.
Amen.
In here dealing with this young boy. Here it is. God gives a revelation, but his mom doesn't walk in the revelation. She's over here sorrowing while God has a plan to bless. God's plan is to bless this boy, to do something for him, and she's over here whining and crying about it. He's going to die. Have you ever been around that with people? I've been with people already, and, you know, I mean, people of so-called faith, and problem comes up, and, man, they just... They just have no hope.
Mm-hmm.
Yet, if you said scriptures, then they'd say, I know that. I know that. And see, the whole thing of it is they lead faith, you know. We hate to see people go through stuff, you know. I hate to see people go through things with a bunch of pain and all kind of stuff like that. That's terrible to see. But I'm going to tell you what, somebody's got to come and stand in faith. Something, you know, a room full of criers ain't going to make it. It ain't going to do it. So we want to stand by faith. Somebody's got to step up and say, hey, hold it, hold it. So we have God responds to this lad here, responds to him. Now, we want to see, because there's something else that the Spirit of the Lord showed me about this. He said to her, now he talked to her, first of all, he said, God heard the voice of the lad. He said, then the angel of God called to Hagar out of heaven and said to her, what ails you? Now listen, here's this. Look how he talks to her. See, so this, what's wrong with you? Why? We done talked about this. You down here, full of unbelief. That's what I say. If God's never spoke to you and talked to you about unbelief, maybe you never tried acting faith. I don't know. Because he sort of talked to me at times about it. But I got over there, his unbelief, he talked to me about it. And that'll happen sometimes. What ails you? He says, fear not. For God has heard the voice of the lad where he is. So you ought to go over where he's at. And this is what she's going to do. He's going to send her over to him. Now listen, it says, arise, lift up the lad and hold him with your hand, for I will make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the skin with water and gave it to the lad to a drink. Now I want to say this about, they say about the lad, we are dealing with this thing. It's the most amazing, because church thinking, you know, most of the church world thinks this was some little boy she had out here. He's probably 16, 17 years old is what he is. You look at 99% of pictures that have been done by artists of this, he's about this high. And she picks him up and carries him. You see, we get over here thinking. See, we have images and stuff, you know, we read the Bible and find out about it. You know, this is why I study, show yourself approved. We find these here, but I want to read you those scriptures. I like them from the Amplified, what the Amplified said. Because this is the angel. It says in verse 18, he says, get up, help the boy up, and hold him by the hand, for I'll make him a great nation. Then God opened her eyes, and she saw a well of water, and she went and filled the empty skin with water and gave it to a boy to drink. In other words, God told her, get up. You go help the boy. Go hold his hand. Why? I'm going to keep you alive because of him. You go hold his hand. You go hold his hand. You know what? Didn't find no water till she did. Now, that's one thing the Spirit of the Lord said. He said, the first thing I did, she had to act in faith. Couldn't sit there whining no more. You get off your rear end. Get over there and act like this is true. Now, we need to understand this. This is where many people at times miss it in the areas of faith. They know what to do, but they don't act like what they know to do. They say, I believe that. But see, you have to act it. You know, you ever in a situation where it's tough and it's hard? And you ever been in a situation you wanted to cry? If you ain't ever been there, you're probably inhuman. But you know, it's like you're smart and talking about joy. I want you to get around to understand this. You're going to have to come over to the thing and act like it's true. You might have to get a smile on your face.
Amen.
It ain't because you're happy. I'm going to act like this is true. I don't care what. This is true. I'm going to act like this is true. You know, see, I'm going to tell you that this is the fight of faith. Everybody else is, I don't know, they teach about the fight of faith. I learned about the fight of faith as a young Christian. It's acting like what's true, what don't look like's happening at all. That's where the fight comes from. Say, it don't look like this is working. For the past 3 weeks, it don't look like it's working. And we're on the fourth one now. It's gotten worse. Praise God, Jesus, you're wonderful. I'm so glad. And you got to keep smiling. I refuse to cry in the name of Jesus. At the time when that's happened, you don't think it's funny, but I'll tell you what. But you're going through the thing. It's like, no, I'll tell you what. Hallelujah. I'm going to shout for joy.
Amen.
See, it's easy to smile when everything's going good. Mm-hmm. But the faith smiles sometimes.
Praise the Lord.
I've done this many times. I've gotten up in the middle of a problem and just stood there and danced and praised God. And I'll tell you, I had nothing to dance and praise God naturally about.
Amen. Amen.
But I'm going to act in faith. I'm going to act like God's real.
That's Amen. Right.
That's what you do. That's just what you do. And see, God wants to bring to pass His Word. You know what? He can't bring it to pass. She's an authority over Him. Yes, get her in line. His will isn't working unless He can get her in line. So see, we need to know this about, especially parents, concerning walking in line and walking in the light of things. It's really important. It's hugely important walking in the light. But these areas, especially in faith. Why? Because this is the thing here. God has to get her in faith. She got to get in faith. He's got to get her. Hey, get in line and now act like it. Get over there.
Amen.
What you doing sitting over here? Get over there like this things are working.
Amen.
What are you ailing for? The boy's dying over there and you're whining. And so, you know, really, I'll be honest, I never saw this thing like this before. I never saw it before. Till the Lord started giving me the looking at this thing, I thought, oh my God. But see, this is what God does to every human. It's just like Mike talks this morning, the man had died that, you know, kid would come to their coffee shop. He'd come there. What, Mike would try to talk to him. Why? Why? Bring him to faith. That's what this is about.
Amen.
See, you can pray night and day for people. This is what the church does. Praise, 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 praise to free. They praise people. Somebody's got to preach something. Why? Faith comes by hearing. The response to him is to hear something that he... Now, they would talk to him, and Mike would try to talk to him about it. He wouldn't listen, but Mike talked to him to the end of it. You know, he just talked to him. His number one is when he lately left the earth, whatever. Hopefully, he did something before he left. I, you know, would hope so. But if he didn't, his number one, he's going to know that. He's going to say, nobody tried to tell me a thing. That will not happen. Mm-hmm. You see, faith comes by hearing. Faith came to him. He did not respond to it. Mm-hmm. Faith came to Hagar. She did not respond to it. Yeah. Now, she probably thought it was pretty neat when she first heard that. But see, when trouble comes, and that's it. There's things I've heard. I ain't knocking Hagar in this. We've all heard things that God said and were really good to us. We thought it was wonderful. And then trouble came. Then trouble knocked on the door and we were like, oh, this ain't fun no more. This isn't near as good as I thought it was.
Amen. You know,
it's coming back to that. This is one thing. It's why you listen on the inside. Your inner man especially. Your inner man responded and took that into you by faith. It's there in you. What happens is the outside happens. It goes on and your flesh starts to dominate and it gets noisy. It's just like with it. She's sitting over there crying. Her flesh is noisy. Now, number one, we know that just because she's born again, she can still believe God's word. Nobody could ever get saved if a sinner couldn't believe God's word. You can believe God's word. She had God's word was given to her by an angel, but she's so noisy on the outside she can no longer hear those words that were spoken to her that day. This is why we need to be very careful. Sometimes I found this myself. It wasn't until I got quit praying about things till I finally heard. Mm-hmm. I was too noisy, even from doing what we call spiritual things. We can get too noisy at times. Praying about a problem, and we're really not, we're just sort of like trying to force through something. It's like, hold it, stop. What does God have to say about this? I've had that happen. Where I realized, oh, you know, I've been busy praying over here, but He's had something to say to me that would have helped me out a whole lot in dealing with what I had to deal with. We're not speaking against praying. We need to do that.
Right.
But we need to understand. See, this is, for anything I've learned over the years is this, is we're in a relationship with God. And it's not just we on one side talking what we want, what done. We're in a communication with Him. And you can't succeed without this communication. Faith comes through this communication. You know, you might hear a word preached and it's right, it's said. But you know, you're not going to really understand it till the Holy Spirit emphasizes that to you in your spirit. Where you turn around and, oh, I get what that's saying. I really understand. See, we've all reached to levels in that. There's certain things that I've listened to Kenneth Hagin's teachings over the years. And I've gotten revelation from it. But still today, I get revelations from that same areas of teaching. You'll get other revelation. I know the Holy Spirit can reveal things to you further about certain things. And this is where you want to be, in that place. And you got over there, none of us have arrived. Nobody's at that place that we just got it all. We don't have that.
Amen.
It's a great need for the Holy Spirit. And always know that the Holy Spirit is in you. Really, God's relation and His friendship with you is through the Holy Ghost. He's the comforter. He's your helper. The Holy Spirit, when Jesus said He was going to send Him, He said He said, I'm going to send you another comforter. That word another means one of the same kind. He said, you and I have one just like Jesus living in us. He's so identical to Jesus, it's like having Jesus in you. And He's your comforter. I want you to think about that. He is your comforter. He is your helper. There's a relationship. It's like God took it to another level when I was at Rhema, and I always talk about when I was out praying and the Holy Spirit talked to me. When I realized the relationship between the Holy Spirit and Jesus and me, it's like it really blew my mind, because I thought about, man, this thing of the Holy Spirit, the need of the Holy Spirit and us connecting with Him. This is not just something people say, well, you need a relationship with God. No, you need to walk in a place of fellowship with God. And that's done through the Holy Ghost is where it brings you into fellowship. He's the one who brings you through His teaching and His knowledge. He brings you into the place where you can stand in the presence of Jesus, where you're comfortable in that stuff, and He's comfortable with you being there. You need to understand there's two sides of this relationship.
Amen.
There's two sides to it. And He helps you do that. It's like that day when I had the thing, when I turned around and started reacting because the presence of the Lord coming into the car, He said to me, you knock it off. He wants to talk to you. See, the Holy Spirit, my response was not good to Jesus. See, Christians need to understand this. The Holy Spirit helps us in all of this. This is why He works. He's working in us.
Amen.
He's bringing revelation. Why? So you and I act in faith toward God. Why? So God can do all His good work and goodness to you, can bring it to pass. God wants you to have it. People are, well, God's holding back for a reason. No, He's not. It's like people say in the mirror, well, you know, God's holding back a move. No, we're not. We're holding back a move. God doesn't hold it back. Man does. Man stops God from moving. Our response to faith in God, wanting a move of God is not faith. Wanting one. Most of the heathens, the Muslims want to move God. Come on. I mean, every group does. You know, every Buddhist and everybody wants something. All this wants it. But we need to understand this. The God of gods, the one who's our Father, He responds to you and I by faith. That's how He responds to us. And see, we need to get that within ourselves and get into that thinking. This wonderful Holy Spirit, He's in you. Jesus said, I would recommend you to go over and meditate on what Jesus said in the John, like the 14, 15, 16 chapter. Read those things, what it says about the Holy Spirit. Meditate on them, they become real to you. That's who's in you. This is what He does. This is one thing that I pray, I say to God all the time. I want to thank you. The Holy Spirit's going to do in me exactly what you said He'd do.
Amen.
He's going to take what belongs to you. He's going to show me things Amen. To come. Thank He's showing you. Me what's ahead. See, there are people we're praying, asking God to show us what's ahead. Holy Ghost, that's His job. Go brag on Him. Say, Holy Ghost, I thank You. This is what You do. Jesus put You in there. Could you not do what Jesus said? Would He do that? You see, whether we will or not, lots of times we sort of have the whining prayer, in a way, trying to get God to do what the Holy Spirit's in you to do that. Why don't you just thank God that the Holy Spirit, I'm so glad You're doing exactly what Jesus said You'd do in me. I just want to thank You. If anybody's going to give me a revelation, You are. You're going to show me about Jesus. I don't have any trouble knowing Jesus. Why? Because the Holy Ghost in me.
Praise God.
Well, that's you. That's why He's in there.
Amen.
See, we're not reaching out to a God out there. We reach out to God. This one gives us the revelation that God just becomes, and our hookup with Him, but just comes a natural, normal flow of things.
Amen.
That every day I walk out here and every trouble and thing that's going on in this world, well, I know what's all going on, but there's one in me. Greater is He that's in me than he that's in the world. The one in me is putting me over all the time. It looks like I'm failing, but I ain't. I know what it looks like, but I know the one in me.
Hallelujah.
He's greater than what looks like.
That's right.
And you can walk along. And see, this is the place of faith. If we don't learn to talk like this, what's our response? What's our response to faith? Many times people go, I believe in God. Well, what are you saying? Well, man, we're in a lot of trouble. We're just... Well, if you're believing God, say what you're believing.
Come on.
Tell me what you believe.
Come on.
Say, man, but I want to cry, but tell me what you believe, because that'll put you over.
Amen.
Your cry may not
Amen.
Do anything for you. Other than make you sadder. It could, you know. There's nothing wrong with crying. People go through stuff, and sometimes you just, you know, things are hard to go through. But you know, you can cry, but faith. Don't ever leave faith.
Mm-hmm.
Say, I don't like what's going on here, but God's going to put me over.
Hallelujah.
Say, I don't know how He's going to do it. I can't see it, but I tell you what, He'll do it because He said so.
Amen. Because
right. You've got to maintain yourself.
Yes.
And so, understand, these things we're putting in the Bible, that says these things were written for our admonition. They're written for us. These things were put specifically in here for you and me.
Amen.
These are why they were put here. Specifically for us. See, that's why the Bible's just, I just can't believe how this book is so full of revelation, as small as it is. So full of stuff that is absolutely phenomenal. So we're this morning, we're in the areas of faith, and I want you to see this thing. Because if you understand this, it will raise the level of your faith. It'll
Amen.
Take you further. It'll make you more confident in God. See, is that you don't have to go over. We're not trying to plead to God. See, she's over there. She's whining and crying about it and that stuff. And the whole time, the boy just probably over there, help me, God.
Yeah.
And the Bible talks about calling on the name of the Lord. Sometimes that's, I'm serious. Sometimes that's all you can do. You know, I've wonderful stories and testimony. People in really terrible danger, something's going to happen, and just yelled the name of Jesus and were delivered.
Mm-hmm.
Just yelled that name.
Mm-hmm.
You see, just saying the right thing in the right time or saying the wrong thing at the time and end up with nothing.
That's right.
I know one guy listening about a plane crash. You know, two planes hit each other, one landing and one taking off. And then one guy, two Christians sitting side by side. And he said the plane that he was in, the one that came in landing, took off the top of his plane. Was in and took it off. And he said, he looked up through and he said all he saw was a fireball coming back through to him. And he just said the name of Jesus. He's in a 747. I don't know if you've ever been flown in one of those. The inside, they're high. I mean, the ceiling's like this in here. You're sitting down here and he's sitting down here in a seat. He said, next thing I know, he said, I'm pulling myself through the hole in the roof. And he said, I walked off the wing and stepped right down on the ground, off the wing, and walked away. He said, the guy beside me died. It's what he said. I'm going to tell you, what you say,
mm-hmm. Come on.
What you say,
yeah.
What you say. See, people don't, the church doesn't do enough teaching on these areas here.
Amen.
What you say. It's yours. In time of danger, you best have a quick response. This is why you build yourself in faith over time. You get yourself in here. So when something happens, you're like Abraham. Let's get the bread and the skin, and we're going to go do this.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
Yeah.
No, I haven't built myself over time. I'm going to wait at least 2 months before I try to deal with this. I don't like it. I don't want to touch this. And so... There's those things. But see, it's just crying out. But it helps. Not only thing, we shouldn't think bad about ourselves, because probably all of us have done this at times. We've pulled a Hagar. Did you ever pull a Hagar? Yeah, we've all pulled a Hagar already. You know? We've all been there. We pulled a Hagar. But the whole thing of it is, God chose us. Now we know what to do.
Amen.
Isn't that wonderful? We know what to do. God did not listen to her and understand, because he didn't want to do it. He's responding to her because she's not responding to faith. So his response is because of the faith. There isn't any faith here. Oh, there's a boy over here who's got some. I'll go over here. I remember this. First time I ever read Smith Wigglesworth stuff. Smith Wigglesworth said this. I read it in one of his things. He said, God will move over a million people just to get to one person in faith.
Mm-hmm.
Right there's the picture.
Mm-hmm.
Too many times, people respond to God based on their problem and not based on faith.
Come on.
You got a problem? Things to do. God knows your problem. Because He knows you and me. So there's problems. But we may have a problem. It may be caused a problem. But if you respond to God by faith, He'll respond to you.
Amen.
Even if you cause the problem, He'll respond to you by faith. If you'll go to Him by faith, He'll respond to you.
Amen.
That's what He responds to. That's what He does. So you can always have that confidence in Him.
Amen.
He'll always respond. With Hagar, understand this, you know, she had such a supernatural manifestation to know what's going on. And God held her accountable. You need to understand this. This is one of the things that God's judgment at times dealing with Kenneth Hagin was based on the major things that God's revealed Himself to. God expected him. He got into trouble, died almost a couple times because of not walking in the light of revelations that he got Jesus appeared to him. Almost died. Not God, the devil. He wasn't responding to God by faith. Open the door for the devil. So, you know, you said, I want a bunch of visions and dreams, do you?
Mm-hmm. Come on.
God will hold you to different, God's going to hold you to a different spot.
Mm-hmm.
He's going to hold you to that. You know, I never pray about visions or dreams. I never pray, never ask for none of that. It doesn't cause, you know, I'm scared of anything. But you know, if God wants to give me something, He can. But I'll tell you what, if you get over and start pushing that area wanting that, the devil will probably come and visit you and give you some. You'll probably see some things or hear some things you wish it wouldn't have heard after a while, get you in trouble. But let God do that. If God wants to reveal Himself, He'll do that if He needs to. I never think about that or anything or pray or, you know, as we worship God, we pray to God, we talk to Him, we worship Him and thank Him, His goodness. We ask Him to reveal Himself to us and what to do about situations. But the whole thing of it is visions and dreams. The most wonderful thing about it, as I've learned, and thank God from the teaching with Kenneth Hagin and others, is the soundness of the Word of God, is revelations from this book are so phenomenal in what they will do for you.
Amen.
That you don't need a revelation, some kind of special revelation. Or you don't need it. You get a revelation of what the Word says, I'm going to tell you there ain't a better, greater treasure. Mm-hmm. The greatest level of faith to walk in is in faith in the Word, not in a vision.
Amen.
Faith in the Word.
Amen.
That's the greatest level of faith. See, when you have faith, any person who got a revelation that Jesus is Lord and God raised Him from the dead, any person can, without seeing Jesus or anything, can be saved by believing that and confessing that. Any person, you talk about a miracle, get born again, become a child of God. See, we, I want to, God take me a ride past the moon next week. Well, you know, that's the greatest revelation. For a person becomes a child of God, becomes a new creation. Phenomenal thing. All it came from was words spoken that we got from this. From this book, the words that somebody, a revelation that Paul got, gave it to us, and that revelation we give to somebody else, those words, there's not a greater miracle take place.
Amen.
You know, me, a lot of people out here don't believe the baptism of the Holy Ghost, they don't believe in healing and all that. Praise God, he's going to get to heaven. they're going to show up there. Hallelujah. Yeah. Glory to God. Why? Just because of those simple words to believe. Phenomenal thing. Well, you ought to take the rest of the Bible the same way. You know, we complicate sometimes into doctrines. You know, and we need to know in teaching, there's things that need to be explained and understood. But let's try to keep it downright simple. Healing's in the same thing. You know, you don't need to know 497 different verses that are something out of there. I mean, you get healed just on the simplest things of seeing in the Word. Hallelujah. Walking in light of it.
Amen.
It's the most simple thing. Getting complicated. Get this into your mind. If anybody wants me healed, it's God. Get that in yourself. Throw out any of this knowledge that comes along as, well, God has a reason why He's not doing this. Why His? Well, there was a reason why God wasn't responding, but it wasn't His side. His side had nothing to do with it, with Hagar. It was her side. He responds to faith. That's the way He is. That's sort of how He communicates with us. It's through this thing, faith thing. That's where our relationship lies in, is in this place. And see, people are trying to have it through, you know, different types of, you know, rituals and different things and stuff, but that's not where it's at. This communication through faith is really the things where we're hooked with God. This is the way He talks and deals with us. It's through this faith thing.
Amen.
And whenever He does something, let me say, whenever He does reveal Himself to you, it is only for one purpose, to bring revelation so you can believe.
Amen.
If you're stuck on, see, this is why I think for many people it's not good to ever have a vision, because all they ever did is get stuck on what they see in the vision, but not the revelation. We're so wonderful this, I thank God from Kenneth Hagin, his humility is not to make a big thing about what Jesus looked like and none of that, the revelation. Why? Because that is what allows you and I to hook up with God. We can hook up with God in an area. We have communion. Understand, your faith, there's nothing like, you don't have communion outside. We're reminded of this, our communion is in this faith thing. It's where our fellowship lies in Him. Through faith in Him. This is where we hook up at. Hallelujah. And you're there. So sit down. You know, don't look at where you're not in faith. Look where you are. Capitalize where you are. Capitalize on what place you're in right now in faith. What you know right now. Capitalize on that. It isn't important to get more if you're not capitalizing on what you have. God wants you to capitalize because there's things He wants to do. There's things He wants to do for you. God is in the business of doing things for people. That's what He does. He didn't come and save us so, you know, heaven could have a great time. They were doing good before they got me. Nobody up there was missing lunch or feeling bad or limping. Nobody was up there doing that. They weren't doing that. Hallelujah. It was heaven. Heaven's love toward us is about us here. In this place here, God reveals Himself and His glory is revealed here. So people get to go over there with Him. And so think about that. Just take a hold of the place that you can walk today or where you're at. Maybe you're not in a place of faith, somebody else is. But you can respond to God in the faith that you have. Get what you can from the measure you have, and I will guarantee you, God will bring revelation to you. He will bring more revelation if you respond to Him in faith. Faith will always bring revelation. I learned that from Smith Wigglesworth. I thought, he's exactly right. You yield to God, and the nature of God is to reveal Himself back to you. You respond to Him in faith, and His nature is to respond back to you in faith.
Amen.
So that, he's going to reveal Himself more.
Amen.
Just the way He does. He shows Himself more. Just expect that to happen with yourself. Walk in the light that you have. You know, if you've gone over and you've messed up on some of it, you were a Hagar at times, well, go back, you know, straighten that out. You know, set yourself with faith in her. He's not nervous.
Amen.
You know, he even delivered Hagar anyhow. You know, I'm going to do it for the boy because I promised for the seed. Do you get blessed? Sometimes we got blessed because somebody else walked by faith.
Amen.
I always thank God when people walk by faith. we got a blessing, but it wasn't because we were calling right. Hallelujah. Praise God. Well, I hope that helps you this morning.
You.
I was really, you know, the Holy Spirit teaching that and showing that because we can go, I believe that God wants to take us a whole lot further, especially when faith, the life of faith just becomes so confident that we trust. Even when you get to this place, you get, this one thing is I know, I run into areas sometimes I don't understand about or how God or how He's working in something. It's just a bit foreign to you. Yet you know you've done what you're supposed to do. But I've known this, if I walk by faith in Him and what I know, He'll reveal Himself to
Amen.
Me. He'll show
Amen.
It.
Yes.
It's just the way He is.
Yes.
See, don't get over there. See, I hear people sometimes, they go, well, I just don't understand. I just don't make sense. And why is this? But see, once you get over there, that moves you further from faith in God. It gets you off the picture. We see all this problem, and this is going on. Hey, the problem may be real, and you know, it is. But when you're talking about God, I say, I don't know what God's doing, but I sure know this. He loves me. We found out, read the scripture. No matter all that junk's going on, He loves us. God loves me. God's interested in me, and He will do whatever He can, hallelujah, to help me out. And He'll give me revelation and understanding of what's going on. We'll get this figured out. This is because He loves me. He's gonna work it out here with me. As number one, you and I have the know-it-all living in us. We need to take advantage of that. And also, I talk to Him about that all the time. I tell Him,
Amen.
You're the know-it-all. You know everything.
Amen.
Hallelujah. See, I'm so fortunate. I got the know-it-all living in me.
Amen.
See, you recognize and honor the greatness of the power that's in you. What's inside of you? See, many Christians are looking around for power. You're wasting your time. You already got it.
Amen.
We're not looking for power. Glory to God. Hallelujah. It's in us. Say, well, I don't feel nothing. Me too. I don't feel like I got a lot of power today. I don't feel like Mr. Electricity. I don't feel any of that down here. But I tell you, I preach the word, makes me happy.
Amen.
Well, it puts joy in you. See, you preach the word as you do it. Where's that come from? It comes from what's inside of you. That's the word of God, and the emphasis of that spirit, that is the same spirit that raised Jesus from the dead, is inside of me. He's inside of you, making you alive today. Amen. You might have came to church feeling pretty dead, but you know what? No matter what you feel, He's making you alive.
Amen.
You want to get happy? Start saying that. You know, He's making me alive. Say, I sure don't feel like He is. Yeah, but He is. He's making me alive. Amen. Hallelujah. He's sticking life in me. Glory to God. Let's stand to our feet.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Praise God. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Hallelujah. Praise you, Father. We just want to thank you today. Thank you, Lord, for taking the things of the scriptures here, especially looking at others, Lord God, where they missed it, and you help us so we don't miss it. Hallelujah. But we thank you, Father God, for your love for us, that you put these things in us to encourage us. Hallelujah. To inspire us, Lord God, to walk with you, to showing your goodness and mercy and kindness. And Lord God, I want to thank you for faith, because faith, Lord God, puts all of us on the same playing field. Hallelujah. When all of us hear your word, faith comes. It doesn't matter. Faith is no respecter of persons. Hallelujah. Everybody can. It doesn't matter whether, Lord God, we consider the highest learned or the lowest learned. It doesn't matter. When faith comes through the word of God, its response to humans is always the same way. Anybody can respond to and believe it. Hallelujah. And walk in it. And I just want to thank you for making it easy for me. I want to thank you, hallelujah, that I'm so glad that I didn't have to attain some great place or have to jump to a certain or become something of this and that, that you're the God that makes something out of people, hallelujah, because of your word. And I want to thank you, Father God, for your word, hallelujah. It's wonderful we have the written word, but Lord God, I so thank you for the living word, Jesus. Oh, my. Jesus Christ. And the wonderful Holy Spirit who's in us today. Each one of us here today, the great teacher, the great comforter, the one that's full of wisdom and understanding, the one that sees and understands the future that Jesus has prepared for us, hallelujah, and He can explain it and show it all to us. It's amazing, Lord, hallelujah. And I want to thank you, Lord. It doesn't seem like sometimes it's there, but it has to be true. Because, Lord, I refuse to believe that you could have lied at all about that. I refuse it. Jesus, they were your words that are written down in the book that said what the Holy Spirit would do. Hallelujah. And you're my Lord. And I tell you, I just believe it is exactly like you said. Hallelujah. And it will be to us. You're inspiring our faith today. You're building us up to take us. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I won't say where no men have gone before, but we haven't gone to. Hallelujah. Others may have, but we're walking to places we haven't walked before. Lord God, not because of our great wisdom and understanding, but because you're teaching us how to just simply to respond to you by faith, and you're going to open, hallelujah, open gates, walls crumbling, hallelujah, glory being revealed, manifestations of your great kindness, mercy, and love beyond measure. And we thank you for it all, Father, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.